Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my fuckboy, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
I don't even really know what that means.
Everett, how are you? It means you put me in a salty mood to start it.
Andrew, I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking. We had the first baseball game of the season tonight. The boys had their first baseball game of the season. It was very cold.
I can't believe you guys played. It was like torrential.
Oh, we didn't have rain. We were out in Thurston. And so there wasn't any rain, but there was cold temperatures. I think it was about 40 at the end of the game. So,
and super humid because it had rained all day. Ugh. Yeah. That's not pleasant baseball weather. I've never understood why baseball is a spring sport.
Yeah.
And not like a late spring into summer sport. Like school baseball only makes sense within the context of like collegiate competition. Anything younger than that, it's like, dude, just roll into summer. Just eat the first 3 weeks of summer so that you don't have 9 games rained out in the first
couple weeks
of the season.
Yeah. We go from basically basketball season to soccer, to fall soccer. I mean, we'll be playing in August still, so it's just a long season.
Oh, is he play club ball? Club ball?
Yeah, they're playing club. So Babe Ruth. It's a pretty long season.
Yeah.
So
it's no 182 games. They got to get conditioned for that kind of bullshit.
That's right. It's fewer than 182. Doing really well, Andrew. The weather has been nice here, today being the exception. But I think like yesterday at 7, I was out doing yard work in my t-shirt, just beautiful.
It wasn't a t-shirt. It was a wife beater. I
100% was not doing yard work in a wife beater.
I must have seen it the way I wanted it to be.
Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. I've also, I've been only partially enjoying our spring-tacular. The allergens in the last several days have like all but killed me. I really thought I was dying. I have like the swollen, itchy throat. So I'm back on my allergy medication regimen like a nerd. But I really enjoyed not having to like bundle up to go outside. So things are about to start blooming, which is my nightmare. I've been in a training the last several days in the grass seed capital of the world.
Quite literally.
They have that sign when you enter that county. It's, you know, comes with some allergens. Training itself has been cool. It's at the fairgrounds, which is interesting because, you know, it has fairground artwork up to and including a rodeo clown in blackface. I've mentioned it. Some people think that maybe the makeup is red. That doesn't come across well in black and white. So it really is just about a 50% size human in blackface, which is a little bit shocking to see so prominently displayed. Other than that, I'm pretty good, you know, just chugging on along and enjoying this early spring. Lacrosse season is getting into swing. Herding third graders is much harder than I expected and also a little bit more fun. I don't see why teachers do it.
Are you coaching lacrosse?
I am.
Oh, man.
I am. And there's only 12 of them, so I cannot imagine what a third grade teacher with 25 to 35 students feels like for a day. I have them for an hour, and at the conclusion, I'm like, nobody fucking talk to me. Don't look at me. And if you say a word in my vicinity, I'll blow the whistle.
It's crazy because everybody I know talks about your patience and
they do. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone. I'm actually known for that, which is like, you know, it's funny that they just test it. So, yeah. There's this kid on the team. And, you know, I'm trying to reconcile, like, this is a new sport for all of them. There is not under third grade organized season of lacrosse within our area. So they go to clinics and they kind of play with their older siblings, or they're somehow affiliated with it in some other way. So there's, but the majority, probably 10 of the 12 kids are nine. We'll say nine of the 12 are really new. Like, have maybe touched a lacrosse stick eight times leading up to the season. And I'm not sure what some of the parents are thinking in enrolling their kid in a really physical, not just like physical and running, right? You combine soccer and hockey, and is what it's what you get is lacrosse. It's a violent sport. It's a technically difficult sport because you're, like, and there's this kid on the team who really wants to be good, but is unwilling to put forth any effort. So anytime he doesn't catch a ball, anytime he throws a bad pass, anytime somebody makes contact with him, we're talking full meltdown, starfish on the ground,
no,
sobbing. And I recognize,
third grade?
I recognize I'm a third grade coach. My goal is not to make them good lacrosse players, because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
My goal is to help them to enjoy the sport, help enrich their lives as athletes and competitors, and make sure they have fun, right? That's the kind of overarching goal. And it's really hard with third graders. So we have a couple fourth graders because it's a third and fourth grade age group. It's really hard to try to encourage a third grader off of the ground in the midst of like a wailing, sobbing meltdown while everyone onlooks and is like, he's crying again. And I'm like, yes, he's crying again. Mind your business. What happened, bud? Because he has a mouth guard in. So it's just pure nonsense. I'm like, look, bud, it's hard. The bottom line is you shouldn't be good. It's okay. I'm not good at this. And I played it for a long time. You should not be good. It's okay to not be good yet. You got to try, though. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the effort and the fun and the enjoyment. Kid hit me with the ball the other day because he thought it would be funny. Like, just launched it, hit me. I was like,
are they using normal lacrosse balls at this age?
Everything at this age, it's full.
There's no like nerfed.
No, because that equipment. It's already a small ball.
Mm.
And to relearn the mechanics to change ball weight and size. Yeah. Would be a disservice. It's all the thing. They're in helmets, mouth guards, cups, like all the armor. Some of them like are too little to fit in the pads. So they're like, they look like Alfie from Christmas Story. Like, sorry, bro. Like,
this is what it is.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a growing experience for me.
You know, I started playing tackle football in fifth grade, which is a little bit older than Mark is now. But at that age, it was sort of the same thing. Like, well, we had, I remember our team, we had like two linemen that were both, I mean, fifth grade, and these, they might've been sixth grade actually, but they were both like, you know, adult sized, like height and fat, big guys. Right. So like we had everything from 6 foot giants to like, you know, the smallest fifth graders, right? Because this is just everything. And some of these fifth graders were tiny, and it was the same thing with the pads, right? You'd get some of these kids in the helmet and the pads, and it's just
like, they're lost. I remember my freshman year of high school, I played in the PIL. I overlapped
Portland Interscholastic League, for those who don't know.
And I overlapped with Domagon Sue.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember, you know, all 108 pounds of me for the one play that I was on the field for that game, looking over at a fella who would become a menace in the NFL. You know, I didn't know that he would be, you know, 3 years later.
Well, that guy in his freshman year was like almost 350 pounds,
he didn't
right?
get a lot bigger. From when I looked across, from when I stood under center, when I didn't even have to crouch, you know, typically quarterbacks have to crouch at that age. I didn't. And I looked across at him and I was like, today's the day I die. The disparity between ages at that time is
crazy.
Is staggering. And I'm glad that I only played that one play and he did not touch me.
I
wouldn't have survived.
I reffed him. I was a AAU ref, and I reffed him in AAU basketball. And he was, even like as a sophomore in high school, I think he was, or maybe a junior at the time. And it was just like this guy isn't a real human. I mean, he was just...
No, he's a Greek god.
He's, this is just the most massive person you've ever seen. Yeah, even as a pretty young at that age, pretty young high school student. It was crazy.
So. Yeah, it was not. But so anyway, it's been a learning experience. It's going to be a really fun learning and growing experience. And I get to be around lacrosse.
Well, Andrew, you know, unfortunately, here we are 12 minutes in. We're not here to talk about Ndamukong Suh.
We could spend a whole hour talking about him stomping on Jets and all that other kind of stuff.
Lacrosse or even baseball, which is much to my chagrin. No more baseball. We're here to talk about watches.
Oh,
because it has been a week.
Whole week. And it really has been a week.
It was a week. There's a bunch of cool shit. In fact, I had to cull things at the selection stage. We usually cull things live, right? We'll have a list of 12 watches, and we might get to six. Eight or nine of them. I had to cull things live because I was like, I'm just not going to have time to talk about that today. So we got a bunch to talk about. We've not left ourselves a bunch of time, which is fine because we can go as long as we want because it's our show.
We make the rules.
Yeah. Andrew, I am right now in the planning phases for another podcast, a different podcast unrelated to this, which almost no one who listens to this will have any interest in listening to.
I didn't listen to your jingles today. I was otherwise engaged.
That podcast is going to require us to be precise with time. We're going to have to come in at 60 minutes almost exactly every time.
Oh, that's going to be hard for you.
It is
going to you're the wrinkle. Hard. Like you're the X factor there. I don't know who your co-host is. He's not going to be a problem.
It's hard to say. I would say
it's not hard.
Between the two of us, I am the one who's more likely to keep us on schedule. But you're right. It's going to be a different change. It's going to be a change of pace.
When we cared about schedule, it was me. It was me.
100% not true.
Wrong. Wrong. Let me dive into the first thing that I want to talk about today, because I am the one who keeps us on schedule. I want to talk about, I'm not the one who runs long, man, for a lot of reasons. I'm going to talk about a new release from a brand that we don't talk about very often, and we don't talk about them very often because they haven't done anything really meaningful in the way of true releases. They've done some one-offs and they've done some special editions. They've done some cool stuff in the last 50 years, but they haven't changed much. We're going to talk about Doxa. Doxa has done a really new, don't raise your eyebrows at me. The Jacques Cousteau is not a new and cool. It's a limited edition. We have a true new addition to the Doxa catalog in the way of the 200T, which is a scaled down, there's a lot of changes. We're taking the 300/300T platform and Doxa has taken the 300 platform and made it a 39mm watch, coming in at 1600 1590 on the bracelet, 1550 on the rubber. And this is a really interesting release. So, spec'd out, it's the sleeve, it's the SW200 movement, which is 28.8, 38 hour power reserve, 25 jewels. It's the Doxa you know and love. 39 millimeter case, 10.7 thick, 41.5 lug to lug, 200 meters of water resistance. In 8 colorways, some are unique to the 200T. So they didn't just release their typical named colorways. They did like a kind of like a matte and a, what are we gonna call it?
Starburst,
sunburst. Kind of like they did a matte and a polished version of each dial. So we have all the dials that we know, and then some kind of additions, which is really interesting. And we were kind of talking a sudden ray. That's what they're calling it. This is an interesting release. So as we're seeing, watch size desire move into that sub 40 range, this is Doxa's answer to keep providing that smaller case, that sub 40 case in their traditional Doxa style. And this thing is gonna blow off the shelves. I think for me, there's some problems with it because I don't want a 39 and 18. I like the dimensions of the 300, which is why you get a 300, right? You get it because you want a big fucking tool watch. That's what you want. Nobody likes a Doxa who doesn't know what the Doxa is. No one's surprised by the size of the Doxa because it's unchanged. It's that OG diver. It's, you know, and I'm a 300T guy because that's what I want. This kind of creates a little bit of a wrinkle because I think that 39 is going to feel really good because the full size also feels really good. It's going to introduce some complications with the dial size. I think it's going to be super tiny, even though we're talking about a 3 millimeter difference. I think it's going to be a really noticeable difference. I want to put one on because I also do think it's going to wear so good. But the colorways is what really intrigued me. Is this is not just Doxa introducing a new case and a new SKU to their permanent catalog. This isn't a special edition. I can't emphasize it enough. This is a big deal. They're introducing a lot of new colorways simultaneously. This is an interesting move. And I'm wondering if it is a indicator of Doxa throwing their hat in the ring of like, we're not just going to hang our hat anymore. We're good with what we've been doing, but we know we can do more. Cause that's kind of the Doxa thing is like, hey, we have these three watches. There's a bunch of colorways. You can get some special editions of our colorways, but this is what we do. And they've just kind of thrown that out its head and like, no, we do a little bit more. I wonder if it's a sign of things to come or if it's just them recognizing that there was a big gap in their catalog that they really ought to fill because people want that 39, 40 millimeter dive watch and universally like that case shape.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, do you know what the MSRP is on the 200? I think MSRP and the sale price is like $900.
It's
$90 bucks.
It's about $1,000. Oh no, it's under $1,000 because the 200 was on one of our sub 1,000 lists.
That watch, I personally think that watch is just tip to tail a failure. I don't like it at all. I don't like the case shape. I don't like the markers.
Because it's a doxa, but not a doxa.
Yeah,
it's all right. it's all the good things of doxa and or all the bad things of doxa and none of the good things.
I don't like the handset. I don't like the bezel. I don't like the fonts. I am not a fan of the 200. Add to that that that's all subjective, right? And I know a lot of people like that watch. That's fine. But the dimensions on that watch aren't particularly compelling. It's a 42 millimeter watch, which...
The 200?
The 200.
No.
It is a 42 millimeter watch. It's almost 14 thick. It's 200 meters of water resistance. You know, it just seemed like a miss to me on so many levels. Meanwhile, this...
It's 42.
This new 200T. I mean, the dimensions on this thing are terrific. So you know,
it is 42.
I think everybody kind of knows you've got the 300 and the 300T. The 300T is sort of the like really like bulky, overbuilt version, probably the classic version of that watch, the most iconic. The 300 came out a few years later, much more refined, sort of a wrist hugger, really a pretty, I personally think, a pretty sexy watch, but still a little big. The one thing, and Will commented on this earlier, the dial on the 300 is still relatively small.
Because the case and the bezel eat it.
With this, we're just pushing all that down. I'm actually blown away at the dimensions on this thing. Just really, really terrific at 10.7, 39 millimeters. But it is going to have a small dial. Another watch that has a pretty small dial is the Foster 11 Atmos. I really like that sort of porthole diver, but it's not going to be for everybody. I think that this is going to wind up being an incredibly compact dial, which I guess just something to note, we're printed all around, but the price on this thing at $1,600 on a beads of rice bracelet, man, I actually think that this is, I'm with you, Andrew. I think that this is likely to be a big hit.
This is going to slam. And introducing the traditional doxa color with a sunray edition of each of those colors, with also a green that is entirely new to the lineup.
Yeah, green and is it gilt or is it a it's like a yellow gold gilt, it looks like. They're calling it the sea emerald.
I think it's kind of more fotina than gilt, but gilt is acceptable. And I think fotina would also be equally acceptable because it's kind of an in-between.
It's
kind of bronzy.
A tweener?
Yeah.
I think it looks like yellow gold to me. But
it could be. I don't know. The pictures are hard to tell.
On the sunburst, I think on the sunburst or the sun ray...
Oh, yes.
These are all applied, and on the, well, no, some of them are printed. So both the Shark Hunters are printed.
And they're doing something new.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things going on here.
It creates an interesting decision point for people who were kind of in the, really know about the 42 and a half.
These are all printed markers. Oh, well, except for the sea emerald isn't applied. Yeah, these are interesting. I actually think that this is like almost entirely win.
Yeah, and it creates like I want a 300T. That's like probably my next acquisition. And this 200T kind of throws a bit of a question mark in that. Because the 300T wears so comfortably. Their dimensions are great. The case shape hugs nicely. This is a banger. This is going to just... They're going to have trouble producing enough.
Andrew, when did Doxa... When did Rick Murray reintroduce docs, I guess the Jenny family, but by way of Rick Murray. Do you know what the timing on that was? Well,
20 years ago?
Maybe. Well, in any event, I think this is a really compelling release where the 200 was just a total swing and a miss.
It was like them dipping their toes in the water of, oh, you don't like the Doxa shape.
I think that this is just how is maybe not a home run, but a line drive triple to the left field corner.
This is certainly an RBI.
I'm into this, so I'm excited to see how these roll out.
I want to see it in person because this could be the answer to all of my apprehension of a 300 T size.
Yeah. 18 millimeter lugs, which might be a problem for some people. I think it's fine. I actually think it works with the case really well.
Want it on the bracelet. You're not going to change it.
Well, the bracelet's obviously 18 as well. So,
but you're not going to take it off. There's not any kind of strap. Like, oh, I have these 120 millimeter straps. Like, you want it on a bracelet.
Yeah, and so what? This is at $1,590. That's like $400 cheaper than a 300T, mm-hmm. and like $1,000 cheaper than a 300. So mm-hmm. this is a really compelling step. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Cool.
This is a good unroll.
I want to talk about Mido. How do we say that?
I think Mido is the answer here.
So last year, Mido introduced the...
I just said Mido, and you're going to say Mido? We're just going to...
The Multifort TV Big Date. I do believe we talked about this on the show. When this came out, I thought, okay... I love the Big Date. It's got this huge date relative to the dial, this huge date at 12 o'clock. I wasn't a huge fan of the dials on this. This is sort of like a 50th anniversary of the Mido. These things came in at like $1,200. I'm reading a Fratello article and they kind of talk about it as a Aquanaut. They don't call it a clone, but sort of Aquanaut-ish-esque.
Yeah, it's following that squarish, integrated, but not kind of design thing that's happening.
That's right. But, for me, it was kind of one of these watches. It came in at $1,200. It's like, all right. I can see it.
It doesn't fit for me in their lineup, but I
like
get it.
Yeah. I like it, but I like it. I maybe don't love it. Pretty big watch, but good. It was a good watch. They introduced a version of this week that I love. So what they're calling this is the Multifort TV Big Date. S01E01. Season 1, episode 1, which is sort of leaning hard into their TV, leaning hard into the TV theme. And more so, they've put a, what do they call this? What do they call this screen with the colors?
The
test screen.
Yeah, screen that would appear every time you were transitioning from like one network broadcast to the next. You've got the red and blue and green and black bars on your screen. And
or if you're as old as me, perhaps, or maybe older, of course, there was that time of day where TV turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy to think about now, but
yeah, from Friday night into Saturday morning, you're like, well, there's actually nothing on.
TV stopped at some point. So, and oftentimes you'd see the screen or something similar to it. So, a TV test screen.
Or when I remember seeing it, like when I would turn on the television ahead of when the cartoons would start, and you're just sitting there waiting, looking at static, and then that test screen would show up, and you're like, here it comes.
it's got like the dial is a TV test screen, but it's different sort of, it's like three dimensional, and has colors and shapes
and depth. The depth is really great.
I like this thing, Andrew. I like this thing. This thing comes on both rubber strap, like a couple different colors of multi-strap. There's a yellow, there's a, like a teal. A bit more expensive. I think this is like $1,600.
It's 1550 euros. So it's about that in dollars right now.
Limited to 999 with an engraved serial number.
Because of Y2K.
You know, I don't love. So it's a 40 millimeter sort of aquanaut shaped watch, 11.5 thick. I actually really like the dimensions on this, and I like this dial. It's kind of a novelty, which $1,600 might be a little bit to pay on a novelty, but you've got like a 80-hour ETA movement. This thing's kind of cool.
The only thing I can't get with is the marker at the 12 o'clock on the bezel. If this was a totally clean bezel.
Well, it's not a marker.
It is a marker. It's an indent.
It's a date window.
No, on the bezel.
Oh yeah.
Dum dum.
Oh. What is that? Is it a loom pip?
It's a loom pip, and I just can't. Everything else about it I'm pretty good with.
It's a non-rotating bezel. Why do they need a loom pip? Okay, right? That's weird.
Yeah, just in case you lose, like you're trying to put your watch on.
Do the old ones have that?
Have it or don't. I don't want it. I want a clean.
Yeah, that's
bezel on a non-rotating bezel.
That's a weird detail. Yeah, ones that came out last year have it too.
It's the only thing I'm not with in the way of the design. Everything else I dig, even as a novelty watch. This is fun.
Yeah.
The colors are really bright. It's kind of in that same vein of a lot of the other like artistic releases we've seen of I dig this, but for that loom pip at the 12 o'clock.
Mito Multifort TV Big Date Season 1, Episode 1.
I wonder if there's going to be an Episode 2.
6. Maybe. Maybe
it could be a new thing. I like it. I want to talk about something, and I have two websites to talk about it too. The first is going to be the Kickstarter page. So one of the OG brands that has that we've ever loved, EMG, has a live Kickstarter campaign for the Horizon 2. And for those of you unfamiliar, the Horizon is a wow. I'm like getting really old. It's a Hoyer.
Oh, you're
trying. Monaco. Yeah.
I was like, what is happening? Did you have a stroke? That's what you always say to me, which is...
I did have a stroke. I don't keep this or don't. I'm going to give it a couple seconds of silence so you can decide.
Carry on. We're leaving it.
It is a Hoyer Monaco homage. That's great. It comes on a cork rally strap, which is phenomenal. This was one of my most favorite watches that's ever come through on our review sample circuit. It is like it's a Monaco. For those of you who've worn a Monaco, it's this big square lovely watch, super fun. I really like it. So it's on Kickstarter right now for their V2. They are 85% funded. There is a week or two, couple weeks left in the campaign.
I think they're more than 80% funded. I think that they're like...
I think they're 85.
25,452 of
30.
Of 30 grand. So
they're very close. $400 to choose any one of your preferred colorways. So the colorways are all really interesting. And they're I like them all. Three in steel case, one in a gold case. The three steel. One is this super 80s brown with a surfboard kind of gold hue in your minute track and your surfboard across with white subdials. The traditional blue with a white surfboard with blue subdials. The green I'm not really with. It's like a
white with a sea foam.
Yeah, the green, I don't know why green.
Always. Oh, are you talking about the green? The
true green dial. Yeah, that turns into gold. Green and gold are a super common combination. It's not for me. I could see how it could be for other people. Coming on black leather for that, but with white subdials and a black surfboard. The white with this lady named blue surfboard, white subdials, and the lady name minute track. They're all really good colorways. The big difference here is we saw VK64s in previous iterations. We see a Seagull ST1901 mm-hmm. in these chronographs. And instead of cork, we're seeing Horween leather. They're lovely. They're great. $750 for two, so you get a killer deal if you're going to buy two. So they're live right now. And second part of our link, Will had one of these in and has a full review on the website. These are great. I love the Horizon. And this is a great homage to a Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
In the design language that makes it super affordable, has its own kind of feel to a Monaco, because it's not a Monaco, but with a lot of influence from it.
So these are currently on a production schedule. I think end of April is when the campaign ends, so you basically have the next month to pick one of these up. Manufacturing this summer...
estimated delivery in October.
Shipping in October. Dimensions on this are great. They've shared a lot of good information in the Kickstarter. You're getting actual specs and engineering drawings.
Here's a big one. 20. So because it's square for design dimensions, I'm a lot forgiving in the way of strap size and our lug widths. So we have a 40 or a 38 millimeter case, which is going to wear closer to a 40, maybe a 41 because of the square. 46 lug to lug, 13.4 thick. So just shy of 13 and a half. A taper on your strap from 22 to 16. You're going to get a great taper on this. This is money.
Yeah, really good dimensions, really good case shape. The handsets are great. EMG does, I think EMG is perhaps one of the most underrated companies. The Nemo is,
this day, one of my most favorite produced watches.
It's same. And I have one that I wear a lot.
Yeah.
Beads
of Rice is great. It's really good on Barton too. That's what I wear it on.
Yeah. I think this watch is terrific. I think it's a great decision to go 1901 on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially over VK, cause VK is cool. But you can keep the price the same and do better And the ST is the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a terrific release. And for $400 right now,
you're not going to be able to do much better.
Yeah.
If you're in the under $500 zone and you want a chronograph, this could be the one.
Yeah. I think that's right. This is a really cool watch.
Yeah.
Good job, Eric, Derek, and Ed.
Way to go.
I'm going to talk about, I've got a handful of weird ones that I'd like to talk about, Andrew.
Shocking.
And so instead, I'm going to talk about Brew.
Oh, I prefer that.
This one will be quick.
Nuts.
Jonathan Ferrer of Brew has released a metric in titanium.
Yo, my boy. His targeted ads are on point right now. I get more Brew ads than anything else on social media. And I like it. They get me.
I think, you know, he's just done a great job with marketing all around. This is a 36 millimeter Brew metric. It's the watch you expect. It's a VK Mecha Quartz, VK 68 Mecha Quartz. It is a 6 and 9 two register chronograph, central seconds, running seconds on at the 9 o'clock, but it's in titanium.
Mm-hmm.
It is in titanium.
We called it wrong. I didn't think that titanium was going to be the thing this year. It's the thing this year.
Titanium is the thing this year. Yeah. And these are $500. It's a Brew metric in titanium for $500.
Is it type 2, 3, do you think? Or is it type 5? Or perhaps any of the other grades?
I don't know. I don't know that he's said.
If anyone knows a metallurgist who would be willing to come and talk to us about typing of titanium for an hour, I'm pretty down with having that conversation.
You know, do you want to talk about metallurgy for an hour?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe
that'll be one of the weeks where I go skiing or something.
I'm happy to talk for a couple hours and we can pare it down. This is great. This is a metric in titanium. The color on it is, the color of titanium is just phenomenal.
Yeah. And the brushing, John does such a good job with the details. The dial on this is terrific. You've got like
TI a TI stamp on the clasp. I mean, come on.
Stamp TI on the clasp. You've got titanium that kind of curves around the 6 o'clock sub dial. This is a cool.
As if you couldn't tell.
If you're someone that was like, I'd really like to get a metric, but I just am not feeling it, this might be the time.
Now is the time.
This is the time.
$550 on these? Come on.
$495,
right? $495. Well, even better than what I suggested.
Andrew, what's up?
Next up. We talked about this briefly a couple weeks ago. We teased it. Like, we played a little bit more than just the tip. But there is a full review of the Notice and Pen Addict collaboration available on the Watch Clicker website. For those of you who haven't seen it, this is one of my favorite Design Lab collaboration releases. It's super fun. Go check it out. I don't know if there's any left.
I do think these have closed. So I think the sale on these has closed. I think they sold a bucket load of them. They sold like way over 100 of these.
So get a look at these and get ready to try to find one on the secondary market, because these are super fun. Yeah.
Full review on the Watch Clicker website.
Yeah. Michael Harris got the opportunity to have one in hand.
Michael Harris, a friend of mine.
A writer for us.
Very smart dude, and is now a contributor to the Watch Clicker website.
All right.
Meister Singer. All right, so Meister Singer, sort of the king of the single handers. That's what Meister Singer does, right? That's what I know him for. To the extent there's a single hand watch that I would recommend or I would even think about, it's Meister Singer. That's what they do, and they're the ones that do that. They released a new watch called the Edition Passage. The Meistersinger Edition Passage. And this is a weird one. It's still a single hand watch, but it has some really weird markings. The scale on this is interesting. So the way these work, you've got an hour hand, just an hour hand, and it goes around the dial once every 12 hours, just like most watches. But this one tracks hours, minutes, and seconds. For the minutes, it tracks them. It's got indications for them at 60 minutes. And for seconds, it's got indications for them every 3,600 seconds. So at the 1 o'clock, you've got a relatively large 01. Below that, you've got a bit smaller 60 in orange. And just below that, you've got a bit smaller 3,600 in blue. And so at 11 o'clock, you can tell the time in one of three ways. So if it's 11 o'clock exactly, it's either the day's been going on for 11 hours or 660 minutes or 39,600 seconds.
We've talked about now it's your single choice. Hand watches a couple times in the last couple months. And Meistersinger has no business doing the cool shit that like really catches our attention, and they've done it twice.
At first I was like, I don't fucking get it. I'm looking at it. So the reason this thing caught my eye is because it's got a really, really nice set of colors and fonts.
Mm-hmm.
The orange they've used is like this, both the orange and blue are kind of like rustic 60s looking and
fotinaed.
They're on this, I wouldn't call that fotina, but maybe they're this on is this.
This is a patinaed dial color set, but without like the faux. It's that What used to be white kind of turned a little bit creamy.
I would say these are just lower saturation subdued colors, but call it what you will. This is this is pedantry at this point. The dial is kind of creamy. The colors and the fonts are what grabbed me. I was like, oh, interesting. But then I was looking at it and I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
But it makes all the sense.
Which is true. It doesn't make any sense. And it makes sense. And it's this degree of whimsy that was like, I almost couldn't comprehend it until I really realized what they were doing. They were like, oh, if you want to know that 18,000 seconds have elapsed in the day, you have the ability to tell that. Nobody wants to know that.
Unless you have a way too big of a stopwatch.
It doesn't matter, right? This sort of like really, it really sort of puts a point on what Meistersinger is trying to do. I think that they've got what do you call it? Like a motto, like a relaxed approach to time in our fast moving world. There's finger quotes there. And this really puts a point on that, right? Like we don't actually care how many seconds have elapsed. And we don't want you to care about it either. However,
should you care?
At 7 o'clock, 25,200 seconds have elapsed.
My favorite little detail of this dial is at the 12 o'clock, next to the 12, is the abbreviation for hours.
Hours, minutes, seconds. Hour, or HR, min, sec.
Yes.
I love that too.
As if you couldn't figure it out.
This is a really fun... Okay, so the details. Do the details matter? No, they don't.
43 millimeter case. It's a big bitch. You need a big bitch if you have a single hand watch.
2,200
euros. And this is a really attractive watch.
They're limited to 100 pieces. So it's a lot of money for this watch. But I think if you're into it, I actually really like this. This is cool as shit. And the Jubilee bracelet's terrific too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm fully, fully on board with it. What are we at?
We've got all the time in the world, Andrew.
Let me tell you.
Nobody's in a hurry.
Let me tell you about something.
Let me tell you something. Carry on.
Tudor. They have, again, broken the internet. I don't know how any of us can even access our email right now with the amount of traffic flocking to Tudor for a Black Bay chronograph in pink. What the fuck, man? It's like they took all this hype that existed around there. We're going to do something. It's coming. It's blue. And they thought that they could recreate it with pink. The blue was just okay. I don't understand it. Tudor has so much more ass than maybe even they give themselves credit for. Pink is not exciting. Neato, you've done it. It's Easter. You've introduced a pastel. Blue worked. Come on, do better. And I'm disappointed by the even announcement of this release. That's all I have to say.
It seems like a lot of emotion. So this is a Black Bay. This is a Black Bay chronograph, or Black Bay chrono.
It's a Pink Bay chrono.
It is a celebration of Tudor's partnership with Inter Miami, which is David Beckham's soccer club. And they were pink kits. I mean, I'm fine with this. It's not a watch I'm going to buy.
I just feel like they could do so much more shit that's way more cool. Don't try to hype me up on pink. It's 31X, 316L
steel. They're not trying to, what do you mean they're trying to hype people up?
They just quietly introduce pink.
I mean, isn't that what they did? What do you mean?
There should be no news releases on it. There should be no excitement. This isn't blue. I don't know. I think they're trying to grab the lightning that they created with that fucking blue hype. I'm still salty about that, if you couldn't tell.
I don't understand why you're so salty about it. I mean, we're talking about Rolex, right? This is a company that has been arguably the most successful watch company in the history of the world. And they haven't done it by releasing 8 billion things. They've done it by releasing a very small blue amount of things.
In very small quantity.
with small iterative details. Well, I mean, Rolex, I think, makes almost as many watches as anybody else in the world every year. So we talk about the small quantities. They just happen to be in the demand.
Most in demand thing
to a degree on the planet. So.
No, I get it.
You're so salty.
I am. I am.
It's so much salt over a watch.
More than one colorway is a news release. Or novel. This is just pink. This is just pastel. This is what everyone did last year. Nomos with three new colors, two of them black and white.
Are we news? I don't think we're news. We talk about news, but we're not news.
We're news. But we're the hot takes.
I'm just going to say we are talking about it on our show.
We'll cut this whole segment.
So MBNF, very famous, Max Busser and Friends, company that makes watches that cost many, many, many mortgages, not mortgage payment, mortgages.
Yeah.
A handful of years ago, they released the MAD 1 model. So this is still sort of like an MBNF-ish watch, you know, certainly all the style, all the pizzazz, but in a much more accessible in a much more accessible. So when they came out with these, I think it was like 2018 or 2019, they came out with these and really you couldn't get them. You had to be part of the
innest of clubs.
Yeah. What do they call it? They call it something, the tribe.
Yes.
Tribe members. Mm-hmm. And they were the only people that could get it. So it was basically like a $3,000 MBNF product. Or a $2,000 MBNF product, whatever. It's a super accessible product. And people were like, what the fuck, MBNF? We want that. Like, why would you make that and then only give it to rich people? Anyway.
Yeah, because it's not just for rich people. It's like, you finally did something we want.
Give it to everybody.
Yeah.
So they released the Mad 1 a few years later, and they made a lot more of them. They made more of them, and so people could get them. But still, like, it's like one of these watches that, like, super in demand. Well, they've now released a newer version. So there's an artist. I don't know this guy. It seems like maybe I should, but I don't. Jean-Charles de Castelbajac? Anyway.
Yeah, right. Good luck.
He's one of these French pop artists. I think if you're into art, you maybe know him. I'm into art, but I don't know him. And it's got like a Miyota 821 that's been like flipped on its head. This watch is really cool. You read the time from the side. It's an MBNF.
It's weird.
And this is an art version. The way they're doing this, so I think that they made 1,000 of these. Is this also a limited?
Also $999. Yep.
They're $3,200, and half of them are going to tribe members. And I feel stupid saying that.
Yeah, I don't like
this. Is that what we're calling it?
We don't have a choice. That's what they call it.
Half of them are going to this insiders group, and the other half are going to be sold at raffle. I don't know how you get a raffle. I do know that there was like a scam alert that they had to issue saying, don't give these people your money.
Only go through the website of Shop Mad Gallery. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're not, I think this is one of those things you're probably not going to get one, but
if you win the raffle, you get the opportunity to buy one at $3,600.
These things are really cool. $3,200.
No, American dollars, $3,600.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that now. Plus VAT.
Yeah, so expect another grand.
This is cool.
It's certainly not cool.
We don't talk about the dimensions of this watch. It's a big watch.
I think it's a 42 millimeter case. It's 18.8 thick.
With 30 meters of water resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not this is an art watch with an incredibly cool movement.
It casts a shadow on both sides of itself. It's enormous.
Yeah.
But it's an art watch. It's a GFY watch.
Andrew, what's next?
I'm out of things.
You're out of things?
Yeah, we're at time. We got to call it.
You're going to turn into a pumpkin. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Let me make sure there's nothing else I want to talk about. There was a couple other things.
We have a really, really intriguing release from a company that we really love, but we're not going to talk about it today because we're going to talk about it.
Oh yeah. We're going to talk about that next week. There's the Louis Vuitton thing, which
is the Louis Vuitton thing is really cool. It's an all sapphire case with a tourbillon movement. There's like some sorcery going on there. Louis Vuitton is really throwing their hat in the hoot world.
It's a blue Norcane and a kind of fucking rad 7 Friday that is the free DB.
It's Frida.
Frida. Yeah, and it's made out of, what are they calling this? So this is like a Hewlett-Packard 3D printed castor oil polyamide organic case material. It's like a case shroud. Anyway, check out
the news. It's like the watch. It looks like it should have been an alien.
These things are cool.
Yeah.
And that's all we'll say about them. New 7 Friday is really cool and kind of expensive, but cool.
Yeah.
It's made from castor oil. Andrew, other things. What do you got?
I have another thing. So one of my coworkers is going to Hawaii in 2 weeks. And he was like, hey, you know, I'm looking at like swimsuits. And I was like, interesting. He's like, what do you think about this one? I was like, that's kind of weird. But, you know, we're talking about it now. So whatever. It's like, I don't know. I'm like kind of torn because it's like some are $100 and some are $30. I'm like, well, I got this pair when I went to Las Vegas, like planning on, like, I just needed a pair of swim trunks because I was going to be by a pool. I got them from Amazon and they fit pretty okay. And they've got like 24 color variants. It's a brand called MAAMGIC, Mamgic. and he's like, wait, really? I'm like, yeah, that's what I got. It was the Amazon special. They have, you know, 20 varieties to choose from. I got baby blue with pink sharks. They're fun. He's like, dude, I read an article about those. I'm like, well, that's weird. They're an Amazon special. He's like, no, dude, this guy like got these that are $30 and these Lululemons that are like $80 and he preferred them. I was like, yeah, whatever. You're fucking lying. I liked them. They fit. They're a little snug. I'm a little fat, so it's hard to tell really what the complaint is there. So anyway, like I conclude the conversation. I was like, did I get like a weird, like, did I find a hack in the Matrix kind of scenario here?
These look nice.
So I do some Googling. And I find this USA Today reviewed article, and this brand makes their top 10 selection for men's swim trunks. And I got to say, one of the things that I liked most about them, so there's two things that I immediately really liked about them, notwithstanding my proportions against the size that it typically fits, and they fit. It's just that I'm between sizes. Number one, I liked that the cut of them did not like suck to your body. Whenever you get out of a swimming pool or water in swim trunks, they're just like suctioned to you. And the way that they're cut and the space that they give you, they don't suction. They're like, they have appropriate structure to just get out of the water and not like immediately do the away from your business. Number two, because of that structure, you don't get front butt when you get in the water in them, when you have to like do that weird deflating of all of the air that gets captured in the front of your swim trunks.
Sure.
So you don't get immediate front butt. These are, so I find this USA Today reviewed article. They are among the top 10 that include brands such as the Glades, Chubbies. I think the Lululemons are on here. I have to scroll through. Goodfellow & Co.
Which is Amazon.
Yeah. Lululemon, Polo Ralph Lauren. I was like, oh, these Amazon specials are a little bit more than that. They're like the out the back door kind of Amazon Ollie brand that we see. We're like, I looked at a Benchmade Bug Out on Amazon, and the first six offerings are not Benchmade. They're all presumably Bug Outs. They all look identical. You know, the specs on steel and all that other kind of thing are comparable, if not identical. It's like, oh, I accidentally found a thing. king when I was just looking to get a couple pairs of swim trunks. So these are $20 on Amazon. They have 12 color variations, maybe more. They have way more than 12.
Yeah, well, because they've got different styles.
Maybe
different like liner options.
And 20 options. Up to $22 for them. These are a thing. They're a top 10, according to USA Today, swim trunks. No front butt. No suction action. They fit nice if you're not a little fluffy.
I'm a little fluffy.
I'm a little fluffy. They still fit well. It's just, you know, if you're a little fluffy, you're a little fluffy. And if you're in swim shorts, that's going to be apparent no matter what. So maybe my complaint is just like an insecurity thing.
Yeah, but you're just like, I wish I wasn't fluffy.
Yeah, yeah. No, maybe that's it. I wish I didn't dad bod the way that I do.
But stop dad bodding so hard.
I know, but $20, tons of great colors. I dig these. These are good.
I like it. It's a good choice. In fact, I went on Amazon just now and I was like, I might buy a pair of these.
Mm-hmm. I have the light blue with pink sharks.
Andrew, are you ready for week three? Are you ready for week three of the EDC knife? Week three of four.
Countdown. Yeah.
So for review, if you haven't tuned in a couple of weeks, first, shame on you. Second, welcome back. We are in week three of four of Everett's EDC knife rundown. So quick review. First knife I picked up was a Benchmade Bugout. Speaking of the devil, Bugout is probably one of the most popular EDC knives to have come out in the last 10 years. Hugely popular. A lot of sort of proper knife people criticize its lightweightness. It's kind of thin. When they first came out, they had a Griver handle, an unlined Griver handle, which is how they get this thinness and this lightness. And the Grivery was kind of flexible, you know, those plastic FRN handles. I picked mine up in a full, like, legit carbon fiber, with a Magna or an S90V blade. I mean, this knife is just incredibly well built, well spec'd. It's a little spendy. And I got it and I was like, I love it, but now I want more. And in week two, we compared it with a Spyderco Sage 5. Mm-hmm. This is also a quote unquote carbon handle, although in Spyderco's case, it's actually G10 with a carbon sort of. A carbon sheet on the outside for texture and aesthetics. Really like both of these knives. They're very different. The Benchmade Bugout,
super different, yeah,
is incredibly thin, but great blade shape, good size. These are all like meant to be worn with, you know, perhaps dressier pants, and they're meant to be slim. We're not talking about cargo pant knives. These are meant to sort of disappear. The Sage 5 probably just a touch big for that. We mm-hmm. talked about the Sage 5 last week.
It's all in the profile. It's in that really typical Spyderco, almost like karambit out, like spine shape, even though it's not a karambit
shape. It's a leaf-shaped blade, mm-hmm. but you just get that sort of big, sort of wide aesthetic with most Spyderco's. Anyway, both great. Week three, I'm going to go back to Benchmade. So this is a knife that I'd seen. Everybody's seen this knife. But I just not really considered it until our editor-in-chief,
Daddy
Will, had sort of suggested to us that this was his favorite knife. And what this knife is...
No, this is not it. This is not his favorite. His favorite is a slightly different variation.
What this is probably the most popular Benchmade EDC of all time. This is the Warren Osborne designed Benchmade 940. Feel free to Google that if you don't know what it is. This knife came out like 20 plus years ago. It has been a bestseller ever since then. Warren Osborne was an Australian born, moved to Texas rancher slash knife maker and designer. He designed this with Benchmade, and it is a rancher knife. It's a knife designed for doing rancher things, in particular for horseshoeing activities and maintenance. It's got this really sort of long, kind of weird, they call it a reverse tanto, but it's kind of like a sheep's foot blade. It winds up being a relatively long knife. So compared to the Bug Out, I should have specs. I don't. Don't worry about it. It is a good, almost it's, a full yeah, inch, like longer an inch longer than the Benchmade. And when you see this on pictures, it's like, I don't know if that's going to work.
Because the grip is ugly as sin.
The grip's kind of ugly. So here, so I was like, you know, I don't know. But whatever. I'm going to pick it up. What is there to lose here? So I picked it up and it came in and I put it in my hand and I was like, oh.
There it is.
I get it. I get it. And I was like, Andrew, come over here. Yeah, he did. Andrew, happened. Come over to my house because this thing is crazy.
That's exactly how it went down.
It like when it's closed and you have in your hand, it like almost disappears. It is smaller in the hand, both closed and open than the Bug Out.
Yes, that's what is shocking to me.
It's a little bit thicker than the Bug Out. It weighs a little bit more, but it's just smaller. It's just smaller. It's longer. It's thicker. It's heavier. And somehow manages to be smaller.
Its vertical axis is notably smaller, and I think that's where it is. It's thinner.
That's right. So it's that, what would that be? The X?
The Y.
I think Y.
The X is going to be
the Y axis is smaller. And it makes this incredible difference. It disappears in your pocket. Mm-hmm. It disappears in your hand. It is incredibly comfortable. I've got, what do I have? 11
many
knives here on my lap. This is probably the most comfortable knife in the hand. Well, yeah, that's not true.
No.
The Paramilitary 2 is really crazy. But this knife is super comfortable. And I'll tell you, I wore it today with a suit. I stuck it in my suit pocket. The clip on this is kind of like, ugh. But I wore it today with a suit. You need to get
one of the deep carry clips for it.
I actually have one.
Just swap it out. I think that'll make it a game changer.
It is just an incredibly fun, versatile. It's the blade geometry, the cutting geometry on it's not great. It's kind of a wide behind the edge. It's kind of wide. So it's not the sliciest knife I have, but it's plenty sharp. And what am I cutting anyway? I fucking love it, dude. The 940 came out of nowhere.
I don't think
and won my heart.
I don't think I'd like the mini version. This is as small as I want a grip.
Yeah,
like the 945. And Will recommended the 945. That's his thing, which is the mini Osborne, this being the 940 full size Osborne.
I think the 940 is his favorite, but the mini is the one that he carries the most often because it disappears in the pocket. It's a little bit less bulky, he said. I'm curious to actually put my hands on a 945 to figure out how different the handle feels. But I mean, God, I gotta say, this knife, I did not expect to like it, and I just absolutely adore it.
It putting one in hand, I was like, well, that's the knife I'm gonna get.
And you're going to buy one?
Yeah, I'm going to buy
one. Did you buy one?
No.
Okay.
I'm kind of torn on the customizations.
Yeah. It is an absolutely astonishing knife. And so far, I don't know that I'm going to pick a winner in this endeavor because I'm going to keep all these knives. So we've got one more next week. By the way, next week, Dark Horse, you're not expecting it.
Truth.
It's going to be really cool. I think it's really cool. I don't know that I'm going to pick a winner, but of these three right now, if I could just have one, it's the Osborne.
Yeah.
It's the Osborne. It's the 940. That's the one of these three. If you said, Everett, gun to your head, you only get one. I'm going with the Osborne, dude. This thing is so cool.
If somebody puts a gun to your head, do they get to keep the ones you don't choose?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that actually plays out.
Okay. I just had to ask.
Between the three, if I can only keep one, it's the Osborne. I absolutely adore this knife.
It's crazy.
Really, really, really fun. And it's the one that I didn't expect to like. Not even that I didn't expect to like it. I just didn't understand how much I was going to like it.
I think that's kind of the wrinkle with like watches and knives and pens and like little techie machines. It doesn't make sense until it does. And when it does, it's this epiphany, you know, the veil is removed. You're like, oh, this matters. Mechanical keyboards. Yeah. Sam, like, did not like the amount of money that I spent on a keyboard. I was like, look, I want it. I'm going to buy it. And she's been working from home this week. She's been using the keyboard. And she's like, I get it now.
I get it.
Yeah. Everything is better. Like, well, yep. Everything is better.
And, you know, sometimes you don't need a reason. Like when I bought the bug out, right? I didn't need a reason. I just wanted to buy a knife. And so maybe that's the point, right? In the hunt for something that at the outset is completely and entirely superfluous.
It still exists for a reason.
Sometimes you can be really shocked by how much you enjoy something that started off superfluous, remains superfluous, and is still just like, wow, but this is neat.
And even when you compare it to something like the Case Sod Buster, which is objectively a great knife to keep in your pocket. That still has a place in the conversation.
Yeah. I love my Sodbuster. I will carry that thing. Every day I carry that. That's in my briefcase every single day.
My Sodbuster is also in my briefcase.
Every day, no matter what. And it's sharp as shit because I keep it that way and mm-hmm. I love it.
It doesn't go with me into court. I do leave my bag, but when I go to court.
You cannot take it into court. My Sodbuster goes to court with me.
America. Yeah. First time I had to go through like actual security and take my belt off, I was talking to the security guard who recognized me. He was like, why are you doing that? I was like, well, I'm not a cop. He's like, why are you doing that? I'm like, I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, you used to carry a gun in here. I was like, I am aware and I'm annoyed right now while I'm taking my belt off and I'm blowing at the metal detector with my watch. So just put your watch, just run that through first and then your body. I'm like, fucking shit. You just told me that I carried a gun in here and you're cool with it. Yeah, it was annoying. It remains annoying because I have like residual court cases I have to go for. It's a pain in the ass.
Anyway, I think that's it. I think we did it, Andrew.
We've done it, as always. Perfect.
Hey, you guys at home, I want to thank you for joining us for all 1 hour and 18 minutes of this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to the website. So there's going to be links in the show notes to two different Watch Clicker articles this week, but every week we post shit on there, including every single episode of this podcast. If you're a weirdo and you don't get your podcasts through some other app. If you'd like to check us out on social media, you can do that on Instagram at 40 and 20. Or, excuse me, at Watch Clicker or at 40and20_WatchClicker. That's where we post updates about what we're doing on the website and in the podcast. If you'd like to support us, and really, we hope you do, you can do that at patreon.com/40 for $1 or $2 or $5 or $20 per month.
50 if you were inclined.
You can support this show. Look, this does not make very much money, and it does cost money for things like hosting and hardware and software. And the way we're able to keep doing this is through the help of the supporters, the people who help us out on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/40and20. And if you can lend a buck, we'd sure appreciate it.
We won't give it back.
And then don't forget to tune back in next Thursday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.